you ever find yourself out of joint? You ever find yourself not where you really need to be spiritually? Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Don't get all uppity on the deal, okay? Don't think, I'm so good, I never could. I can't believe they did that. Don't ever get like that, because if it wasn't for the grace of God, there goes you. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You may be seated. There are two common emotions that all of us have experienced in life. And that is that wonderful thrill of victory. Oh, praise God, everybody, that's a little victory. Can you say amen? We've all experienced the thrill of victory in our lives, in whatever place we're at. And yet, on the other hand, all of us have experienced that awful feeling of the agony of defeat. I've been defeated in my life before. Oh yeah, I've got a lot of victories, and I've got a lot of things God has blessed me with, and I can look back now and say, praise God, God saw me through that and gave me power to go through that. But I hate to tell you today, there are some things in my life that I don't really like to talk about, even in my Christian life. I expect y'all to shout me down this morning. Because somehow we get the idea that when you get saved, that all of a sudden you're automatically just a perfect individual. Well, that's not true. That old song said, "God's still working on me." And sometimes I have to apologize. And sometimes I have to repent. Oh, now y'all don't know what about repentance, do you? Sometimes I have to say, "Lord, I was wrong, I messed up, and I need your help." Those are times that, you know what I need more than anything? I need somebody to come alongside me, and it's called the body, and say it's going to be all right. There's enough grace in God. It's sufficient. His mercies endure forever. And guess what? You can get back up. You may have been knocked down, but God didn't. He's going to let you stay down. You can get back up. And it's those times that have kept me going. Amen. So yeah, we've all rejoiced in the thrill of victory. And we've all cried in the agony of defeat. Now this word overtaken means surprised by. In the Greek, suddenly hurried into. Overtaken. You know, that's usually what happens. That's usually what takes place. You're hit from the blind side. You're totally taken from the blind side. You get sucker punched. You know how, have you ever been sucker punched? How many's been sucker punched? You suckers. Amen. I'm kidding. Just kidding. I have been too. But that just means that you took your eyes off of the one that's going to hit you, and you didn't really expect it to come, and it did, and you got sucker punched. Well, that's what happens with sin sometimes. To the Christian. I don't know any Christians that live in sin. I'm talking about absolute living sin and love to live in sin. You can't do it if you're a Christian. You say, "Man, I'm living in sin and I love to sin. Man, I danced all night last night. I barely got to church this morning, but I love God." Well, it's a good indication. If you love being where you were at last night, you probably think you're a Christian, and you're probably fooling yourself, as Paul said. Because you got, when you get saved, you get a new nature. You get a new direction in life. You get a new desire. Doesn't mean that all your carnal desires are gone. Doesn't mean that you won't be tempted again. It doesn't even mean that you won't fall to temptation. But it does mean that you're going in the right direction with God if you're saved. And all of a sudden something hits you by surprise. We feel sorry for it. We're miserable. Why? Because you feel out of fellowship with God. I mean, I love God, but I don't feel like I'm in fellowship with God. Could it be maybe that you're out of fellowship with God That's why you feel so bad. Before I got saved, I never felt bad about sinning. I loved it. I absolutely lived for it. But one day I learned the pleasures of sin. And the word pleasure is a very important word because it means just what it means. Sin is pleasurable. And I loved it, and I loved the pleasure of sin. But I realized one day, as Moses did, it only lasts for a short season. It's just, you know, you're here today and gone tomorrow, and then you got to give your life to, you got to stand before the judge of all the earth and give account to God. And so in that, I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And He saved me. When I got saved, I didn't like the sin anymore. When I mess up, it bothers me. When I get a wrong thought, you'll never know. Don't act like you never got the wrong thoughts. Man, I'm going to have to come out there and knock some of them halos off of some of you guys. I'm telling you the word. See, overtaken. The word fault means to be out of joint. You that are overtaken, you that are surprised by, hurried into, it hits you from the blind side, it's caused you to be out of joint. I saw a kid this week, it was a soccer player, his arm was out of joint. He was in a lot of pain. I mean, literally, he would have liked that, just been put out of his misery, I think, as much as he was hurting there, because it hurts. You know, when a shoulder gets out of joint, it's out of joint and you know it. When a Christian sins, guess what? They get out of joint too. They've been pulled out of place. They've been trying to be pulled from the direction that God was taking them. And some people, listen to me, some people start out missing a Sunday or two. And then they miss another, and pretty soon it becomes their lifestyle that they're just missing Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Are some of them saved? Yes, some of them are saved. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Don't get them to walk out on me right now, please. But if you are a Christian, you want to go. And deep down inside of a lot of people I know right now that I'm talking to, preaching to, trying to lead them into a better relationship with God, I know that down deep in their heart, they would love to be faithful to God. They would love to go to church every Sunday and have that victorious power in their life. But something's come along the way, and they have been put out of joint. I'm not talking about once saved, always saved. I'm not talking about you can walk away from God. If you choose to walk away from God, you can choose to walk away from God. But I'm telling you, as saints or as the body, we're still in Christ. Now, there's a point that you're not. And I don't know what that point is because I'm not smart enough and I'm not God. But God does. And I would not get to that place. I would not even want to try to get close to that place that I would step over that line and my heart would get seared with like a hot iron and I just don't even care anymore. But if there's a little bit of care in you, if there's a little bit of want to in you, if there's a little bit of, you know, down deep inside, I'd really like to live for God because I know that one day I'm going to face Him. I got good news for you. God can put you back in joint. Now, I want to give you five things real quickly. Oh, my word. How to get back in joint. How to get back in joint. Okay, first of all, if you're out of joint, even if you're out of joint, you're still a part of the body. That's number one. Even if you're out of joint, you're still a part of the body. You see, that's what the devil wants to tell you. As I know a lot of people that have gotten saved on like a Sunday morning and before Sunday night came, they've done something they shouldn't have done, said something they shouldn't have said, and the devil says, ha, you're not saved, because if you were saved, you wouldn't have done that. And all of a sudden they think that, you know, I'm not saved. And that's a lie of the devil. If you've gave your heart to God and you know you had a transformational change in your heart and your life, let me tell you something, you're saved, okay? If you've never had a born-again experience, if you never knew Him in the power of His resurrection, then I'm not preaching to you, but I'm talking to people that you know down deep inside that somewhere along the line, you gave your heart to God, you ran this race, but you have fallen away somehow. You're not a Christian anymore is what the devil will tell you. Look how you've fallen. But let me tell you something. Even if you've fallen, you're still a part of the body. God doesn't cut you off. just because you're out of joint. He wants to heal you. He wants to set you back in place. He wants you to be functional. Because if your arm or your shoulder gets out of place, guess what? It's still part of your body. You know, well, my shoulder's out of place, doc. I want you to cut it off. Hello? Well, I broke my leg 20 years ago, you know. I felt like cutting it off, but, you know, I didn't tell the doc, hey, just cut it off. Let's just get rid of it. I broke my bone, so it's not strong anyway. Just, no. Don't take my leg because it's still part of my body. Don't let the devil beat you around. You need to say, listen, devil, I may be down, but I'm not out, okay? There's where you start right there. You got to start saying to the devil, don't talk to the devil. I'm just saying, you need to start saying, I may be down, but I'm not out. There's got to be something inside of you that says, I'm out of joint right now. I'm not very useful to the Lord or anybody, but I want you to know, down deep inside, I want to be. And you know what? If you go to Life Point, you need to say, devil, I belong to Life Point Church, and you got to be kidding me. Yeah, I have failed. Yeah, I broke down, and yes, I fell down, but thank God for a God of grace. Thank God for a God of mercy. Thank God that if I'll just speak out like Peter did when he fell, you know, Peter fell. He walked on the water for a few moments, and then he went down, and he said, Lord, save me. And the Bible said immediately Jesus saved him. I can tell you this morning that he will immediately save you too. Amen. You're still a part of the body. I'm going to have to hurry. When the shoulder's out of joint, the arm is useless to the body. Why? Because it won't obey the head. When my shoulder, I'm using the shoulders analogy here. If my shoulder's out of joint, my head says, reach out and grab that $100 bill. Can't do it. I'm just using an example to keep you awake. I can't work. I can't hold things. It's no use to my body. It's no use to my head. The head says to move, and you say, I can't obey it. That's the problem. You're useless to the Lord when you're out of joint. A Christian who has not confessed their sins to the Lord and got them cleansed cannot be used of God. So I want God to use me. First of all, you got to get your act cleaned up. Get things in order. Because if you can't obey Christ, the simple commands of Christ, it just simply means you're out of joint. And as long as you're out of joint, you are useless to the body. Okay. Useless to the body. Because you can't obey the head. Number three. When you're out of joint, it causes pain to the head as well as the whole body. You ever had a back out of place or shoulder out of place or a finger out of joint? Little finger hurts you. One little finger, if you get it out of joint, it hurts the whole body. It not only hurts the whole body, but it also hurts the head. You get a headache. Somebody say amen. Every Christian who falls, you know what? You hurt the body. It doesn't stop the church. No one had ever stopped the church. But it hinders the church. It absolutely hinders us. And I know in the past few years, and we'll probably have more as life goes on, we've had some very well-known evangelists that were the biggest in the world, that they got out of joint, they fell. And you know what? When they fell, it affected everybody. I remember back when certain ones fell and they were big names, they said, what do you think about it? I said, I don't like it. I'm not enjoying it because it only hurts all of us. Because they put themselves up as Christians. And I put myself up as a Christian because Christ put me there. But I want you to know, when somebody falls, it hurts everybody. And it grieves all of our hearts. It hurts all of the body. And it certainly hurts the head. Amen. It affects everything. You know, I can tell you, in defense of the body this morning, somebody said, you've heard me say this, I'm going to say it again now. I don't go to church because of all the hypocrites. That's okay. I said, but you go to Walmart with all them hypocrites. You go to the grocery store with all them hypocrites. And I tell you what, I'd rather go to church with a few hypocrites than go to hell with all the hypocrites. Hello. All you hypocrites say, just a joke. But the truth of the matter is, in defense of the body, it's still God's church. You know, I have flown out of DFW many times. There are thousands, tens of thousands of flights every week. When I flew out of LaGuardia, I think it was, lately, I think it was every 17 seconds, maybe I may be a little too concerned, maybe short of that, a plane goes off and just one after another. We got in line one after another, and it's a nonstop deal. You don't hear about that, do you? But you let one of them fall out of the sky. You let one of them miss the runway. And man, it's all over the news. I mean, everybody's talking about it. Everybody gets scared. But what I'm saying is this. When a well-known preacher falls, you know, everybody, you know, it makes a lot of news is what I'm saying. But, you know, when somebody, like, gets in an airplane and they crash, it makes a lot of news too. But what about all the flights that go out every day, every single day that are going out right now that they're not falling and it's not happening? So I'm just telling you, yeah, there's always a Judas in the crowd, but thank God for all the 11 that are still walking with God. Where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, Jesus. We're going to follow you. And I want you to know and understand that there are tens of thousands of flights that fly every day. And you know what? There's tens of thousands of saints all across the world that have not bowed their knee to Baal. I know a lot of good Christians. I know some people that are saints. Somebody say amen. Some people don't have to work as hard at it as I do. But I want you to know that there are lots of people still living for God. Amen. And they're true blue. But we ought to walk carefully, very carefully, because when we're out of joint, we cause pain to the whole body. And you know the highest type of consecration? The highest type of consecration is, I'm not going to do this because, not because it's wrong. See, we get that in the church. Can I do this? Can I do that? Especially the young people. Is it right? What's worldly? What's, you know? And we grow up like that. And man, if we just get our hearts right, here's the deal. It's the things we do because we just want to please the Lord. That's the greatest consecration. Not because it's wrong. Can I do it and go to heaven? You probably can do it and go to heaven. No, I just saw some thoughts of y'all's. No, you can't do that and go to heaven. I'm just kidding. But I'm saying, give your life to God. Desire God and say, you know what? I want to please the head of the body, which is the Lord. And so I'm not going to stop sinning because it's wrong. It is wrong, but I want to stop sinning because it hurts the Lord. And it hurts the body. When you sin, it doesn't just affect you. No man is an island unto himself. You bring pain and suffering to the whole body. You bring pain and suffering to the head. You never fall alone. And if you fall, this is what the communion's about. You need to reevaluate your life and look back and take some inventory. And if you have fallen somewhere and you're out of joint in some place in your life, it may just be your little finger or maybe your shoulder, maybe your knee. But whatever is in your life that God is putting his finger on, you ought to be quick to repent and quick to turn away and quick to forsake and make a dedication. Lord, I'm going to make a new consecration. I love the head. It says to restore. You which are spiritual, restore one back to the faith. I'm going to cut some of this right here. Let me just get to the point here. Restore. That's what God's called us to do. That's what God does. That's what Christ does. He restores. And when you get into the book of John, you're going to find out in the book of John that the only ones he ever got upset with was the religious Pharisees. They were his enemy. They hated him. But it wasn't that at all. But they set themselves up as somebody really spiritual, and they were hypocrites, liars. It says restore, to set in place. That's what restore means. You who are spiritual, set that joint that's out of place back in place. Matter of fact, one translation says to set a bone to set a bone. We're that's what joints are, the bones. And so we're bone of his bone. We're joint of his joint. We're flesh of his flesh. And when a shoulder or bone gets out of joint, guess what? You gotta get some help. You can't do it by yourself. Matter of fact, you better go to a specialist. If my shoulder gets out of joint, I don't want a bricklayer putting it back in. Plumber. No. I'm going to go to somebody that's spiritual. Somebody that knows what to do. And you know, somebody that's spiritual is one that will it will be done with great care. It'll be done with great diligence. It'll be done with great precision, because you, which are spiritual, have the wisdom of God. Do you know somebody that's out of joint? I'm talking to everyone. I'm not talking about just in here. I'm talking about outside the church. You know somebody that's out of joint? If you do, and you are spiritual, guess what? I commission you, according to this word, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to go out into the highways and hedges and get to work for Jesus Christ. And you need to write them a letter, make a phone call, make a personal visit, whatever you got to do. Anybody you know this out of joint, it should be your job and your calling as the part of the body is to go out and put them back in place, because you have influence and your influence can get them back to where they need to be. Amen. You which are spiritual. Spiritual person is one that uses care, uses tact, uses tenderness. They'll use wisdom if you're spiritual. If you're not spiritual, you'll knock on the door and they'll come to the door and they'll say, "How you doing, brother?" And you'll grab them by the neck and you'll squeeze them till their eyeballs pop out and turn blue, their tongue turns blue, and say, "You're going to hell, man. If you don't repent from your sin, you're going to hell." Man, I've been out of joint before. That's not what I needed. Somebody say, "Amen." You which are spiritual. I mean, some just like to criticize. Some like to gossip. Others like to throw rocks. Those are not the spiritual people. No, you which are spiritual. If you count yourself spiritual, guess what? You qualify for this ministry right here. A spiritual person is one that'll be kind, one that'll be tender, one that show compassion. And carefully, meticulously, set that joint back in place. That's what he's saying. To set a bone. And then he says, consider yourselves. I'm closing. Considering yourselves. Come back to the piano or to the instrument. Consider, that's important you understand what he's saying here. Consider yourselves. It's easy to go to church and then look down on everybody because they fell out, but you forgot you fell out a few times too, and somebody had to put you back in joint. And you forgot that, you know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not one of us here wears a halo. Not one of us here can walk on water. Not one of us here can absolutely, with a hand raised, say, "I've never sinned since I got saved." Shouldn't be critical. Should be prayerful, tender, and care. Are y'all getting the message this morning? Because you with your spiritual count, if you count yourself spiritual, that means and then you consider yourself, that means it could happen to you. Consider yourself. It could happen to you. You could fall too. Let me ask you this. Anybody that's never fallen, never made a mistake, I want you to stand up. Real quickly. You're one of those people. I'm going to cast the devil out of you. It's called a lying devil. Amen. So, that's a given. Now, you know, there's no way I can explain everything in one sermon. You got to get the whole picture. There are people that are backslid away from God. If they died tonight, today, they'd go to hell. Maybe sitting right here. Because the most important thing in this whole entire world is not how much money you make. It's not what position you have in life. It's not how important you think you are. The only thing that matters is your relationship with the Lord. So, think about it. You which are spiritual, do you know the wisdom of God? I'm talking to those that are servants. The kindness of God, do you know the mercy of God in your life? Well, if you do, then go to that person you know is out of joint like a specialist. And tenderly deal with them. Carefully draw them back. Take on the mind of Christ and get them back to where they can obey the head. I think I got a scripture here for you. Psalm chapter 22 and 14. This is a messianic psalm speaking as he was projecting the future of Christ on the cross. And that's what we're here to celebrate, here to remember. He said in a prophetical note, I am poured out like water, and all of my bones are out of joint. My heart is wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. This is a prophetic picture of Calvary. All of my bones are out of joint. You think about that just a minute. You think a backbone hurts when it's out of joint? You think of when your vertebrae's not where it needs to be, or your shoulder or your finger or your foot or your toe? I mean, if you think, you know, these are, you know, brings you a lot of pain, I want you to understand all of Jesus' bones were out of joint. Is it hyperbole? I don't know, but it's what it says. Pain was coming from every part of his body, is the point. When you hurt your finger hurts, your whole body hurts. Yes, it does. But the real pain, the issue is here. But he is saying his whole body ached with unbelievable pain. And it wasn't the pain of the cross, of the wooden cross. It was the pain of the cross you could not see, of the cup you could not see in Gethsemane when he drank it that night and said, if there's any other way, Father, let it be, but if not, thy will be done. And he drank that cup in Gethsemane that night to become sin. He that knew no sin became sin. And here he is. All of Jesus' bones are out of joint. Every nerve ending was inflamed. But it was deeper than that. It was the fact that he died for our sins. And somehow we nonchalantly go through the world. We just, you know, add Jesus on. Get my Jesus on this Sunday. No, you better get your Jesus inside you, not just get your Jesus on. Because you see, the message of the gospel is this, that we're all born under the penalty of sin. Everybody is. There's nobody exempt. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how perfect you think you may be. It doesn't matter what good deeds that happen in your life. Me and Mark were talking about this yesterday. It would be like you were born into a disease community and you've been quarantined in that disease community. You may be the best person in that community. You may go around helping everybody else that's diseased and helping them and blessing them and being a part with them. But you know what? You're still diseased. You still have the effect of sin in your own life. Jesus came to take away our sin. That when we stand before God, he's going to say, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Because of the blood. Christ paid the price for every person. For every person that ever gets out of joint. If you're out of joint, he can put you back. And the good news is that the cross is not only for those, it doesn't just have power to save sinners, it also has power to restore every fallen saint, every fallen person, every person that's out of joint, every pain. Thank God he can put you back in place. He can put the socket back in place. He can put the bone back in place. He can take away all the pain. Let Jesus, the great physician, put you back together again. Where you belong in the body, growing healthy in love, grace, and fellowship. hold in our hand the cup. And we hold it as a symbol of his blood. The little wafer on top is a symbol of his body, where every joint was out of place. And the Bible said on that night that he took bread. Let us take this bread, get it out before. And together we're going to partake together. This is not his literal flesh, but it is a symbol of his flesh. It's a symbol of his life, that we're partakers of his life. And as we do, we digest him. We take him in. We don't put our Jesus on. Jesus has to come on the inside. And that is a symbol. And he says, oft as you do this, remember me. So this morning, I thank God for the cross. I thank God I wouldn't even be here today had it not been for that old rugged tree. Father, we pray right now as we hold this bread as a symbol of your broken body. And Lord, I do pray right now that each one of us would review our lives for just a moment. God, that we'll take a little inventory. Where are we putting our time, our efforts, our talents? What are we doing with our lives right now? God, I make a new consecration today, that I give my whole body to the head. And in so, I will also serve the body. God, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the power of the cross. Thank you for the broken body. Bless this bread as we take it together in remembrance of your death at Calvary, in Jesus' name. Have been to Jerusalem, I want you to go back. I want you to see it in your mind. Those that haven't, I want you to as well go back. You won't have the same visual, but you're going to have the same meaning and the same power. Because you don't have to go to the place he was crucified. You just have to bow your knee, and where you bow your knee becomes Calvary to you. You accept that blood. This morning in your heart, you accept his salvation. You accept his love and mercy and grace. In your heart, you need to say, thank God. Thank God for Jesus. He was God in the flesh. And he gave his blood for you and I. Father, I pray right now that you'll minister by the Spirit of God to us again. There's no way we could ever evaluate the price that you paid. There's no way, Lord, we could ever calculate in figures how much it was worth. For the whole world clamors after money, and the whole world clamors after the possessions that are temporal and pass away. But Lord, in my life, you turned me around. And if I died like Lazarus, the beggar, it would be worth everything to live for Christ. I pray, Lord, right now that you'll bless each heart and each soul that's taking this communion as we take it together. Bless the cup as we remember your death and the shedding of your blood, in Jesus' name. Let's take it together. To the old rugged cross, and he changed it someday. Come on, just worship here. Thank you, Jesus. Cherish the old rugged cross.
proclaim.